do this, get your Bibles out tonight. I told you we're going to try and keep service to about a half hour to 45 minutes. So if we're going to do that, we're going to have to get into things. So First Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. Got me, Mr. B? Are we good? Abby, I see you here, but where's the rest of the crew? Okay, you stole her. Great. Mrs. Russo ran out of gas on the way in tonight, and so we sent a recon mission to get her. The reconners are here, but I don't see the Russo family. Where are they, Sam? Tops. Getting gas. Got it. Okay, very good. Appreciate that. The van started okay. Grandpa Hate, the superhero of a rescuer. Appreciate that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Told you Sunday, this is probably the most important message that we have preached for me all year, and I don't back off that statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Watch this now. If our society would just get a hold of the Bible, we'd have a lot less trouble. "Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and how it corrects us and fixes us. And as we heard this past Sunday, God, how it teaches us how to think. Lord, as we study this passage tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd convict and move our hearts. And Lord, I pray that our commitment to you would be greater than ever before. Lord, we love you with all our heart. God, as one of our memory passages said of this year, Lord, we love you with our heart and mind and soul and strength. Lord, all that I am, I turn over to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless service here tonight. Lord, may I be a mouthpiece of the thoughts and desires that you have with us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great introduction to a passage. "For as the body is one and hath many members," as I look across the sanctuary tonight, I see many members. And each has a unique gift. If I were to say that you are unique, you might take offense. But to say that you each have a unique gift is true. God has blessed you with abilities and skills and even burdens. You know, some of our men are burdened for the men at the prison, and they go, and some are not. Some are burdened for children, and some are not. Some are burdened for those that can't come to church on their own, and some are not. Each has a unique gift. And as we study this passage, let's look at verses 14 through 20. The Bible says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" That's foolishness, right? Let's think about that thought. If the foot says, "I don't want to be part of the body," that's too bad, you're in. It is quite painful to be extracted from the body. And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? These are what we would call rhetorical questions. They're asking us to make us think, but really we know the answer. My mom used to ask me rhetorical questions. It took me a couple times to learn, "Don't answer." "Do you think I'm crazy?" "Don't answer that, Mrs. Aldred. We don't answer that when Mom asks that question." Here he asks a rhetorical question. It says this in verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Hey, you're here not by coincidence, can I say? It's amazing what God has blessed us with resources and abilities and the things that happen on a regular basis within our ministry. And we're going to be moving back into those things. Don't worry. But you say, how could we do such things? Well, it's because many members come together and function together. Many different things happen on any given service or throughout the week. How is that? Well, God hath placed certain people here for certain jobs. And you're here for a purpose. Each important, but each different. In the Bible, it says in verse 18, it says, as it hath pleased him. Do you know that you are a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church to please God? He says, you're part of this to please him. It's good to be part of the body of Christ. Not just a saved member, but even more local than that, part of a local body of Christ. The Bible says in verse 19, and if there were all one member, where were the body? Hey, if we all did the same job, if tonight everybody opened the door for everybody else, no one would come in. If everybody was an usher, no one would be seated. If everybody played the piano, it'd be quite confusing. Everybody has a job. In verse 20, it says this, but now are they many members, yet one body. Even though we are many, we are one, unified in Christ. And I want you to get this point as part of the body of Christ. Number one, we are all different. We are all different, but not one better than the other. Look at verse 21. I love this verse in verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. There's no one that can look at the person sitting next to them or behind them and say, we'd be better if you weren't here. No, each is dependent upon the other. And no one is more important than the other. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee or of you. Number one, we're all different, but number two, we are dependent upon one another. And if you come here and you feel like, well, I just don't have a spot, or I just don't have a role, or I don't... Hey, these next few weeks are going to be very important to you then. In verse 22, as we continue the passage, number one, we're all different. Number two, we are dependent upon one another. Number three, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Not only are we all different, number two, not only are we dependent upon one another, we are vital. Each part is 100% necessary. Anybody ever go to the mechanic shop and... you had work done on your car, and you know you just wanted to get an oil change. And you get the oil change, and you drive away, and within 24 hours, all of a sudden, a light comes on. And you know what you think immediately? They took something apart. They want me back in there. They must have thought I was loaded by the way I pulled in, and they're trying to get me. Each part of our vehicles are important. Well, you don't need the radiator. Oh, you do today. Oh, I don't need the windshield wipers. Oh, there's no part. If I went over to Mr. Kopacheski's new vehicle and I started pulling things out of there, oh, this is extra. This is bonus. My car doesn't have that. I'm just going to take this one out of yours. No, that thing's not going to run right. Hey, each person here is vital to making the whole system work. And if you sit here and you think, well, I'm just not that important, or I just don't have a big role, then please understand that sometimes the people that feel like they have the least significant roles are the most valuable. He says this, you're the glue that holds us all together. Number one, we're all different. Number two, we're dependent upon one another. But number three, please understand this. Each person here tonight and within this ministry is vital. That means of utmost importance. And then as we continue the passage, as we finish this thought, verse 25, that there should be no schism. What is schism? Schism. That means division. So if there ought not to be any schism, what should there be? Unity, right? The Bible says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Why? Because they are one unit, one team, one body. Or one member, he be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Last verse now. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Do you see the importance of each person? Do you see how each person is different? Do you see how they're dependent upon one another? Do you see how each is vital? And fourthly, do you see how each contributes to the success of the entire body? As the body of Christ, we cannot function properly unless we are unified. Well, if this group wants to go do what it wants to do, and this group wants to go do what it wants to do, you understand that Walker Bible Baptist Church will suffer. We will not succeed in doing what? What Pastor Russo wants? No. Let's remember this. This is very important. Verse 18, as it hath pleased him, what God desires with us. I'm very thankful that we are not part of a greater church board. That some group of people, hundreds, maybe thousands of miles away, determines what is best for our ministry here. I am thankful. That is why we are an independent, fundamental, that has to do with the doctrine, independent, fundamental, well, we could add a lot of things in there, Bible-believing church. We'll just stop there. We're independent. And what God leads us to do as individuals will be what our body does together. Because we're a unit. We're unified. The Bible warns us multiple times throughout scriptures. The reoccurring theme from every single epistle is the importance of unity. Why? Because he knows that sometimes members go rogue. What does that mean? Just off and do their own thing. And God says, hold on, I never designed you for that. We've been given a unique circumstance over these last 3 months. Some personal reflection, some maybe you saw some things in yourself you didn't like, and you had the opportunity to adjust. I've told you this, barring a doctor coming to me and saying it's a matter of life and death, you need to stop, there's no way I could have stopped. How do you stop life? Well, he stopped us. All. Not just one person. All of us together. Now as we come back, we have a unique opportunity to kind of look at everything again and say, all right, where are we going with this? What's the purpose of church? What's the purpose of being a Christian? God, what is it that you desire with us? And that is a great question that I believe we all need to ask God. God, as I am the whatever member, what is it that you desire with me? What would you like to do with me? See, the Bible says faith without works is dead. That does not mean that our faith is that we have faith because of what we do. But because of our faith, it does change into what we do. Our actions are a response to what we believe. Follow me here. What we do proves what we believe. Is that not true? We can talk all day about what we believe, but truly what we do is what we believe. And as our faith becomes action, as I study the Word of God, as I get down on my knees and I beg God for direction in my life, and He grows me in my faith, that action then breaks into two parts. Number one, I'm going to have to adjust. Say, how so? Well, here, let me review some people that had to adjust. Noah could not continue his life as usual and build an ark at the same time. Correct? Abraham could not stay in Ur or Haran and father the nation of in Canaan. Moses could not stay in the backside of the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh at the same time. Each one of these men had to adjust in their life. David had to leave the sheep to become the king. Amos had to leave the sycamore trees in order to preach to Israel. Jonah, listen now, had to leave his home and overcome major prejudices in order to preach to the people of Nineveh. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had to leave their fishing businesses in order to follow Jesus. Matthew had to leave the tax collector's booth to follow Jesus. Saul had to completely change direction for his life in order to be the preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. Faith requires action. Faith prompts action. And one of those actions, the greatest action, is going to be me adjusting to what God has for each of us as individuals. And then obedience. Was Noah in the will of God for building an ark? Yes. Would we not all agree that building the ark was God's will for Noah's life? 100%. But that's not God's will for my life, right? We don't look at that and go, all right, well, if it was good for Noah, let's all build boats. No, not at all. But God has a plan for us. God has direction for us. And over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want to use Wednesday nights to really pray and ask God, God, as members, you want to direct us. I think of it like this. We're all on this ship. And we all have a responsibility to make the ship, as Christ as our captain, getting the ship in the right direction. Going the right way. We just need to find out where God is leading. What is God doing with us? What is His desire for us? In John chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and what do? They follow me. And here's something that we get quite backwards. We step out on faith as what we think and say, God, we want you to bless what we're doing, as opposed to finding out what God is doing and getting involved in that. And that's what we need to do. We need to figure out what God desires for our ministry, for us as individuals, and go do that. Now, there are certain things in the Scriptures that are blanket statements for everybody. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our job. And over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I would like to use Wednesday night as a prayer time to just beg the Lord, Lord, how do you want us to impact our community? How do you want us to impact our neighbors? How do you want us to impact children? How do you want us to impact co-workers? What part of me, what part of the body am I? How am I functioning here? I'm sorry, but I don't believe that it's necessarily the job of anyone to just come and sit in a pew. I think God has a plan for us. And Christianity isn't just Sunday mornings and Wednesdays. If our faith is real, that would change what we do Monday through Saturday. In July, we are, we leased, right? Leased, where's Roy? Roy. Leased a billboard in Brockport, right across from Domino's. And Brother Cellini is designing one for us. It's going to have some church information on it. A phone number. It's going to say, what's this? Se habla español. Did I say it right? Sure. Great. Was I close? That's going to stay that. We're going to put that up. And maybe we'll get some calls. I had a lady call today. I was just happened to be walking through the office. I heard the phone ringing. Hello. So I'm talking to this lady, and she's like, she started the conversation with, "Are you having church? Who is this?" You know. Can I ask why you're asking? Because I'm looking for a church. My church isn't opening until a long time. And we didn't like our church anyway, so she said. Hey, I'm not looking to take anyone from their church. I don't think that's right. But I would like to reach the unchurched. We're in the process of ordering some scripture signs and getting some signs that are similar to the billboard that we're going to put up in Brockport. And we're thinking maybe Saturday mornings going out to 260 and 104 in front of the probably the nicest speedway I've ever seen. That they put a little sidewalk just for us. And maybe 10 or 12 people for an hour on that little area just stand there and with some scripture signs. To take the gospel out, but then be prepared for people to come in. What is that going to take? That's going to take us as individuals saying this, God, whatever you want to do with me, I'm willing to do it. I'm part of the team. I'm part of the body. I want to be a functioning member. No one wants to be the blind eye. Yes, you're taking a spot, but you're not functioning. I love our church. I'm so thankful for the family of God. We have something really unique here. I've had the opportunity to visit some other ministries and talk to some other pastors and things over the last short period of time. And man, I am so thankful that the things that, that we don't have the same struggles that everybody else has. We have a unique family here. We are friendly to one another. And that's a blessing. And if we all just honest before God said, God, what do you want to do with us? What do you want to do with me? And we got bolder in our faith. That we might please him. Who knows? I read verses like this, and this will be our last verse. And then we're going to take a few moments and we'll pray together as families. Luke chapter 14. And again, I do appreciate you coming out tonight. It's our first midweek service in a long time. I do believe 10 or 11 weeks now. In Luke 14, verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Those are strong words coming from the Lord. I'm not saying that we have to sell everything, but I think we have to be willing to use whatever resource God has given to us for his honor and glory. And if God has given you a gift or a burden, I think we need to explore that and figure out what that is. And that we would be willing to maybe be uncomfortable a little bit or sacrifice a little bit for the sake of the gospel. And we as a body of Christ goes as the individuals. And if we all asked God, God, what is it that you want for my family? What is it that you want for me as an individual? I don't think he's going to tell the Rice family something different than the Russo family, than the Schultz family, than the Kopacheski family, and we can go around every... I think he's going to tell us the same things. I think he's going to say, hey, let's head this direction, and here's how I want to use you in this intricate puzzle. Over the last 3 months, we have done a lot of puzzles at our house. Couldn't go anywhere. We were knocking out 1,000-piece puzzles a day. We're on it. It's professional. And you know what I see? I see each of us like that. You know what the most frustrating thing is? Is completing that entire puzzle. We did one that was 2,000 piece. That was a good one. And you finish that entire puzzle, and there's 3 pieces missing. Oh. It's incomplete. Hey, we're just like that puzzle. Each piece is important. Each piece holds the whole thing together. Each piece is different, yet dependent upon others, is vital, and contributes to the success of the entire body. Please remember that. You are important. Say, I'm a mess. Well, your mess is important. And grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and be used to the fullest. What is it that God has for you? What is God doing in our midst? And how do I adjust my life? Listen now, not how do I make God adjust to me, but how do I adjust my life to God? What is he doing around us? I just want to ask him. I want to ask him, Lord, what are you doing around me? And how do I get involved in it? There might be some, I was talking to someone this past week of we know the things that are in our life that ought not to be. We know when we choose things that are worldly and ungodly. We feel the Holy Spirit tug at our hearts and we know those things. And if we're going to get serious about the things of God and truly fulfill the purpose that God has for not just us as a church, but us as individuals, we're going to have to get clean. We're going to have to be open and willing for God to use us. When does that billboard go up?
July 9th.
I would like to be ready for that. Say, how do we be ready for that? We as individuals, in touch and in tune with what God is doing around us. I don't know what'll come of it. I have no idea. But it's just going to be another branch in which we can get the gospel. Have we not been 100,000% convinced what this world needs is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You cannot watch the news or listen or walk down the street without being convinced again. The answer is Jesus. And we just want to get the Lord, we want to get the gospel to people. Everybody. Whether they come to our church or not, we want to be faithful witnesses. Willing to do whatever it is that God has asked us to do. We love to read missionary stories. We hold these men and women to such high esteem. But they were just like you and me. They just did what God asked them to do. I don't want to get to heaven and have the Lord say, man, I had so much planned for you. If if you would have just asked me. So if we could, as a body of believers, ask the Lord, God, what is it that you have for me? What is it that you want me to do? You know what I believe? He'll tell us. Let's take a few moments tonight. We're probably sitting together with our families. Let's take maybe 5 minutes or so and pray that thought tonight. Hey, be careful what you ask the Lord. Let's talk to Him and be honest before Him. Then we'll come back and maybe sing one last song, all right?